The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, as you've been hearing, Iran has fired hypersonic missiles at Israel on the sixth day of their fighting. It follows Donald Trump's warning of US potential involvement and his demands to Iran for unconditional surrender. Now, Sally Hayden, Irish international correspondent who is reporting live from Beirut, joins me now. Sally, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sally, first of all, there are different perceptions of the war. I suppose the perception in America, it seems very remote. And, you know, Trump is looking to his domestic audience for approval or not of any action he might take. What is the perception in Beirut of what is going on between Israel and Iran?
It's a good question. So I think, and to some extent, there's a relief that Lebanon doesn't seem to be involved right now. But it feels at the same time very close, like we can see the missiles in the sky here every night. Hezbollah seem to have indicated that they're going to stay out of it, at least for now. Israel at the same stage. I mean, they assassinated someone they said is a member of Hezbollah this week, who local media said was a beekeeper. So there's still a feeling like, I mean, Israel is still kind of controlling several points in Lebanon. They're still carrying out regular airstrikes. So from their side, there are still attacks happening. But the big concern here is that Hezbollah will decide to retaliate. But so far, that hasn't happened.
Now, the Israelis claim that they control the skies over Iran, and I'm sure they control the skies over Lebanon as well. To what extent are Iran's air defenses totally degraded?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. So not just the Israelis are claiming that, but also Trump posted on his Truth Social yesterday using we. He said, we now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran, which obviously, yeah, both raises questions as to whether that's completely true and also what is the extent of U.S. involvement. We're not sure. We know that the Iranians are still firing missiles. I mean, like I said, we could see them from here last night. It does seem like certainly Israel has the upper hand in this.
Now, I mentioned perceptions and however Americans perceive their own activities here. But in the region generally, is there a perception and acceptance that America is really involved in this up to their teeth?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, America is the number one backer of Israel. So from that perspective, they are involved. There's been very contradictory and confusing statements, as is normal from Trump, as to how involved they're going to be and whether they're going to become more involved. And I guess people are just waiting to see what's going to happen from that perspective.
Now, Trump is so outrageous and so mercurial, I suppose, that we find it hard to be shocked by things that he says. But the idea of a leader like this, who is not directly at war with the other country, Iran, threatening the life of the supreme leader of Iran, that seems to me to be some kind of Rubicon that has been crossed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's one of the big questions now is whether the supreme leader is going to be assassinated. So Khamenei on his ex, Twitter account actually posted last night saying we must give a strong response to the terrorist Zionist regime. We will show the Zionists no mercy. But as we know, like pretty much like all the senior people around him are being assassinated. And as to whether he will, you know, we've been watching also the kind of IDF releases, the statement of Netanyahu, who said that killing him will end the war, killing the supreme leader of Iran. And, I saw the IDF posted a video this week, for example, of chess pieces with Iranian military faces on them and one final standing chess piece with a question mark on it, which seemed to be indicating again that they potentially are planning to assassinate him. But what will be the impacts of that? You know, we don't know.
I mean, earlier in the week, Trump was reported to have stayed Israel's hand, that Israel were ready to go with an assassination of Iran's supreme leader. And the reporting was that Trump had said, no, this is not something you should do. Now he's saying they're not doing it for now, which seems to be giving them a kind of a green light that is flashing but hasn't stopped flashing yet to give them the ultimate go.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen observers say, for example, Trump may have been sitting back to see how successful Israel would be with their kind of assault and strikes and make a decision at that point as to whether to also go in. Yeah, I think everybody's kind of on tenterhooks in a way to see how this is going to develop and what's going to happen. And it seems pretty clear that Iran's capacity for retaliation is waning.
If the Supreme Leader was assassinated by the Israelis and the Americans, and it couldn't happen without the American nod, we presume, would that bring about a regime change? Or is the regime a kind of a hydra-headed monster? You cut one head off and two more will sprout up.
Yeah, it's a good question. And honestly, I don't know. I mean, we know that the Iranian regime has been very brutal and very controlling. I've seen kind of quite devastating messages from people in Iran saying things like, you know, they have tried to protest and to do what they can to change the regime themselves, but also that they're very upset that, you know, they still feel like they're being attacked by a foreign state. And at the same stage, we've seen messages from Israeli officials saying, you know, this is the time for the Iranian people to rise up. And they're saying, no, you know, if we're running for our lives at this point. We saw Trump say, you know, the whole of Tehran, a city with 10 million people in it, should be evacuated. You know, people are trying to flee with their families. They don't have the capacity to rise up, you know. And also, of course, there's always concern in this as to Israel, like what is Israel's goal, and if Israel is seen to be operating with impunity and, you know, attacking foreign countries, you know, there's a feeling of hypocrisy that Israel is widely believed to have its own nuclear weapons. It doesn't confirm or deny that. And it's not a member of the non-proliferation treaty as well, one of around four countries in the world that's not a member, you know. So, yeah, there's a feeling of kind of that there is a hypocrisy there. And what does that mean for the general region? And what does that mean for the future of, you know, international order and international law?
Now, the call by Trump for unconditional surrender by Iran, I mean, I don't even know what that looks like. But, you know, on the one hand, they're talking about the small window still remaining open to some sort of negotiated finish to this particular conflict. And Trump has said he wants a total end to it. He doesn't want a ceasefire. He wants an end to it. So where are we with that? I mean, is there any possibility that at this point they can get back to the table?
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult trying to, you know, in a war situation, trying to analyze Trump's kind of things that he says on social media. So he basically said in all capital letters, unconditional surrender, and everybody's left trying to figure out what does that mean. What Iranian officials say, and I've seen them speaking in various contexts in recent days, they say that they were at the negotiating table, that they were meant to do a sixth round of discussions last Sunday. But, you know, one of the negotiators, like a senior negotiator, was assassinated, for example. Like what they say is that Israel has blown up the negotiating table and that this, you know, they can't basically, you know, they can't negotiate in this type of context. And it also doesn't seem clear, you know, like even the US, what they're looking for exactly at this point. So, yeah, it doesn't really seem like any real negotiations could happen. But I've seen Iranian officials, you know, asking for them. And Israel certainly doesn't seem to want to stop.
Now, I saw a headline overnight about Netanyahu's position that when he decided to press the Iran button and go for the nuclear sites and, of course, others like the television service, energy generation, all of those key infrastructural bits, but mostly the nuclear facilities and, of course, key personnel, both politically and military, that he effectively, with that decision, united the people of Israel behind him because they always see Iran's nuclear threat as existential.
I mean, and it's worth reiterating or saying that Netanyahu, he's wanted this for a very long time. You know, I was actually reading a book recently about Mossad, and it had a scene with Netanyahu in it. And this was published years ago, where Netanyahu again was calling for direct attacks on Iran. This is something that he's really kind of been waiting for. I don't know. I'm not in Israel. I don't know how everybody's feeling about it at the moment. I know obviously things become very real when you start getting the retaliation, and you know civilians have been killed there as well. And yeah, so I don't know how invested they are in it. I think you know there's a lot of things going on right now. Like it's worth reiterating as well that Israel's military, they are engaged on many fronts. They're in southern Syria at the moment, where they've been kind of seizing land and occupying land since the fall of the Assad regime. They're in Lebanon, like I said. You know, I've had Israeli drones above me in Beirut for the last 3 or 4 days. Gaza, you know, there's huge fears that this is distracting from Gaza as well, and the kind of ongoing massive death toll there, and more people we know were killed yesterday, dozens who were said to be queuing for food. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening right now, and what is the end goal here? It's really hard to see, and there has been, you know, rhetoric from Iran for a long time, you know, that could be considered to be an existential threat, you know, that it's threatening to wipe out Israel. Or sorry, I mean, I can see, yeah, like for them, it is an existential threat in terms of what the rhetoric is. But as to, you know, we have the American intelligence community saying that Iran wasn't creating a nuclear bomb at this time, you know, that they were far away from that.
In any
So
way, in
as
any
to the
event,
actual reality.
Iran is well away from the capability to deliver that weapon. Israel, as we know, is a massive nuclear power, and we don't know the extent of their nuclear arsenal, but there would be mutually assured destruction for Tehran were they to try to deploy a nuclear weapon against Israel. So, how much of all of this is for politics rather than any pragmatic elimination of the nuclear issue in Iran is an open question. But finally, I should ask you about the international reaction. I mean, China and Russia are going to meet about this. Turkey has been very critical of Israel, saying it is the destabilizing force in the region. And then the question of whether the Sunni Arab nations are prepared to stand idly by and allow Iran to be, I suppose, weakened, if not destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, a lot is about power, isn't it? And it's like, it's quite clear who has the most power in this region at the moment. And like, you know, we saw that statement from the G7 as well, which said Israel has the right to defend itself, that they see Iran as the number one kind of source of instability in the region, and terror as well. Like a lot of people in the Middle East would argue with that. They would say it's Israel. And that would be, you know, people, including people who are absolutely no supporters of Iran, or of the Iranian regime at least. But yeah, as to whether others will get involved, I mean, I think that that's nothing is impossible, but I think that people are seeing what is happening here, and they obviously wouldn't want that to be them.
Sally Hayden, reporting for the Irish Times, international correspondent based in Beirut. Sally, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.